In this episode, we talk to product designer Steven Saul.
Using technology to improve the public education experience. I'm talking to you, Florida.
And how to green light your projects with your significant other.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to the Thunder Nerds, where it isn't a question of what we're going to do. The question is, what aren't we going to do? I am now and forever JD Riot.
And I'm Brian Hinton.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And you are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a design and developer discussion for all levels in the industry that love what they do and do web good.
What are we going to do?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is, what aren't we going to do?
Today, we are speaking to product designer Steve Saul. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to join.
You are a product designer in the education industry, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I work for Goldbook currently. We design education software for teachers.
Let's talk a little bit about how you got to that point, Steve. Where did you actually go to college?
I went to Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois, where I originally studied to be a high school English teacher. And straight out of college, I was a teacher and track and cross-country coach.
As soon as I heard Normal, Illinois, all I wanted to say was, you mean not Illinois?
Right, yeah. Well, and they call it Normal, Illinois, because it's a normal school was the school for teachers. So the college was initially established as a teacher exclusive school. So if you're from Illinois or from the Midwest, a lot of teachers come out of there. A lot of proud Redbirds.
It would be much more interesting if it was Normal, Illinois. Normal. If anybody.
That's right. It's me, Normal, the world's cutest kitty cat.
If anybody gets that, we're good.
So you wanted to be a high school teacher?
Yeah, you know, I had grown up around education my whole life. My mom was a teacher. She taught special education. And so just from a very early age, I had always been around schools. Because of that, my summer jobs were things like, you know, working grounds at some of the buildings in the school district. And so I'd just always been really close to that. And so it was just kind of a really natural fit for my personality and for, you know, just kind of what I had known.
And then you actually did teach, though, for quite a bit, right?
I did. So I taught for 8 years, and I taught high school English. So I taught two different courses, one on British literature and another on film and media. But where I really started to, I guess, merge my teaching career with my love for web design was I was coaching cross country at the time, and our team needed help managing our web page, which is just a very simple set of, you know, HTML files dropped in a directory somewhere out there in the cloud. And our head coach, Paul Vanderstein, came to me and said, hey, you know, do you think this is something you want to try? Can you kind of manage this, take it over? We had a student who actually at the time had been managing it. He now works at Box. He's an engineer at Box. And he was like, well, yeah, you know, we can get you set up. We can just kind of set up your files on the FTP server. And I had no knowledge about any sort of HTML even. I mean, I just had very, very basic level knowledge about even, like, you know, dragging and dropping files and putting them in there. So that's kind of how I got my very first start into web design.
Yeah, I think we all have a similar kind of story, but maybe not exactly like that.
I was totally about to say that. It's like, how many people have we talked to that were like, I had no fucking idea what I was doing, but I told everybody I did, and that's how I got
exactly.
my start.
Yeah, I could take that on, and then you just jump in.
Fake it till
honestly,
you make it.
I saw honestly that there was a famous 5-minute install for WordPress, and I thought, okay, if it could be installed in 5 minutes, how hard could this be?
Now, did you do it in 5 minutes?
That's all I want to know. No, it was not done in 5 minutes.
WordPress was your gateway.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I think WordPress is a huge gateway for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was back, like, I mean, WordPress obviously has come a long way. It's got a really nice interface right now. You can, you know, a lot of like managed hosting solutions, like for example, DreamHost has this really easy like installation of WordPress that you don't even have to do any of the back end work whatsoever. And so it's come a long way. But uh-huh. it was easy to kind of get around and play around with like the files. And as soon as I started developing the site, there were things that I wanted to do that it just didn't do out of the box and that the template didn't allow me to do. And so that's when I had to kind of figure out how can I tweak some things or how can I adjust some things and where do I start to kind of make this display this way or how can I change the colors or those things weren't all kind of built in that way. It was a little more intricate back then.
Yeah, it's that reverse engineering. You're forced to learn other kind of things to make stuff work. You actually have to learn how to code and develop.
Yeah, and the tricky part was, I mean, working with a MySQL database for somebody who's, basically... got a very base level knowledge of HTML is a very tricky concept. So I guess like in my mind, when I thought about what I wanted to be able to do in terms of web development and design, I had for a very, very long time been stuck kind of with trying to figure out or solve the mystery of how do you organize and put your data in the cloud and where does it go?
How did you transition from being a school teacher to suddenly working at Goldbook? What was the transition like to that?
Sure. So one of the other parts, when you're working on a website and for the purposes that we were working on, there was a lot of marketing that went into that. And the reason that we were developing our team website was because we wanted to generate a lot of excitement for our team and really kind of keep that enthusiasm. We had a very large team of over 160 young men. And so we were very active on social media or became very active on social media at the time because it was right when things like Twitter were becoming popular or Facebook pages were coming out. And we used the website to really kind of help dovetail with that enthusiasm for the sport. So there was like a very big marketing piece that went into that. And I looked on Goldbook's website. I was just kind of browsing one night through some of the top new ed tech, kind of listings. And I found Goldbook and I thought, well, this sounds a little bit interesting. So I clicked on their site and then I noticed they had a careers link and I followed that. And I just read a job description that I thought was perfect. The role just seemed like a great fit because it was kind of a mix of this designing type work with a little bit of focus on the front end of the website, but also with a mission to kind of spread the word about Goldbook and talk about, a little bit about the company and what it is that they did. And so I thought this was a perfect fit for kind of the things that I've been doing and loving about my role as a coach. It's a technology job, which I'm in love with technology. And it also has a lot to do with my background as an educator. And so they were looking for somebody who had some education experience. So it was just kind of a perfect mix.
So what are you doing at Goldbook and what exactly is their mission?
So at Goldbook, our mission is to empower educators and really design software that helps them transform the way that they're teaching. So design software that takes some of the difficult concepts that exist in kind of like standards-based education and make them applicable in classrooms. And so my role at Goldbook is varied. When I first got there, my very first project was to redesign our website. And so I took my knowledge of WordPress and kind of used that to develop Goldbook's front-facing customer site, not the app itself. In addition to some of that front-end designing type work, my role has also led me to work closely with our success team, which supports our district partners. Sometimes I do professional trainings, but with those even, I'm designing things like presentation slides and collateral and materials. And then in addition to that, I've worked closely with our product team as we've been developing our new product, Goldbook Pathways, for the Gen Ed classroom.
That's kind of cool. So how long have you actually been there then? Probably for a while, right?
Yeah, it's been about 2.5 years. For the first 6 months, I was contracting and working concurrently as a teacher back in Naperville and doing some PR stuff for Goldbook remotely.
Yeah, I see that the Goldbook was part of the New Schools Venture Fund. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so New Schools is an organization that has really made a huge impact in education technology. They've invested in both for-profit and not-for-profit ventures and startups, basically like things that you might have heard of would be ClassDojo or Remind, some of the largest or most used technologies in almost every classroom. And I think they're a really great organization because they give a lot of support to these ed tech to these EdTech startups, and they really help foster this community of collaboration where you have a lot of these different startups who are kind of learning from one another and learning about the education space, because it really is so new. I mean, education itself isn't new as an industry, but the rise of technology, I mean, you just look at how many people are purchased Chromebooks in the last year, you know?
Could you do us all a favor and just put in a call to Florida and let them know that this exists so that maybe, quite possibly, Frederick's child can be educated in a place that's nurturing and developing? He needs a chance.
Yeah, we have some issues with education in Florida.
Just a little. Yeah.
I don't know if you got that.
No, none in California. None at all. It's perfect.
Well, I guarantee you it's better than here.
Does it go hand in hand with beaches, I guess, maybe? Or the proximity to beaches?
I don't know. I mean, the beaches by us up here in San Francisco are pretty cold, so maybe that's what's... It keeps us away.
Oh, yeah. It's a deterrent. Okay.
What are you are you developing and designing at Goalbook? Are you doing both? And I'd like to hear more about that.
Okay, so at Goalbook, I do a lot of development on the front-end website. So everything that you see when you hit goalbookapp.com is stuff that I work on and that I work on with my team. That's, I guess, the limit of kind of what I do currently at Goalbook with respect to product development. But I also consult with our design team. So when it comes to our current project, which is Goalbook Pathways, that's something that we've been working on for the last year. And we've made a lot of progress and learned a lot of different things about the Gen Ed classroom. I've been working very closely with them on everything from, you know, initial concepts of pages and browse features to kind of like finalizing up the designs and, you know, working with our engineers to actually, they implement them. But one thing that I did ignited me to this hunger because they develop in Angular, and I knew nothing about Angular. But I was super excited about this really cool framework that they kept talking about. And so I guess I kind of thought, like, I'll take a little Udemy course and see what I can learn about Angular. We'll see where I'm at. So I took a quick course on Udemy about Angular, and I talked a little bit with our engineers about it. And I loved it because it was just a really easy to use framework for me to kind of work with data. And I found a tutorial that merged Angular with Firebase. And so that's how I got into using both of those. And the context for both of those projects was I stumbled on this Yale Hackathon that they were just starting to run. And I thought this would be a great kind of like, I guess, context for doing this, for applying this new knowledge. And so I talked to my wife about it. I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to spend some time doing this and learning this new technology. I was all excited and telling her about it at dinner one time. And she basically was like, well, I don't want you to do that because it's going to take all of your time. But I'm sure you guys know that story.
It's a balance of family and life. And, you know, it's a fine line.
Yeah.
That's why I just live vicariously. I live that life vicariously through you. I will consistently be that person who has to answer to no one.
Are you developing on Angular 1 or 2 now?
I have not gone to Angular 2. I'm still on Angular 1.
Are you looking also at React as well?
I would love to learn React. I've kind of like poked around just a little bit, but one of the things that I've just recently stumbled on was Firebase recently did a major update to their backend. And so that's the first time that I really like was kind of at this cross point where I was like, okay, am I going to keep going with the old docs, which, you know, docs for me are something that I need them. And so I was thinking I can't work off of some deprecated documentation. I need to at least for this move to the upgraded version. Sure. And so that took me actually a really long time on the current project that I'm working on, Mixlink. I mean, it just a huge time suck just to be able to upgrade all the back-end stuff.
You love Firebase a lot. I personally haven't gotten to explore Firebase that much, but I have looked at, I did watch Google I.O. and there's a bunch of big announcements that apparently developers are very in love with. Are you familiar with any of the new changes, and what exactly do you like about Firebase?
Yeah, so one of the cool things about Firebase is it's a really easy managed database to integrate. And especially with, it works with a lot of frameworks. So they have, various repositories that you can use to network your Firebase with, or hook your Firebase into things like React or Angular, or Node. And so I was working with Firebase just because I thought, I found a very simple tutorial. And then the more I started to use it, the more I loved its kind of flexibility. So Firebase does like two things that I really love. The first is that it keeps things organized in like a JSON kind of schemaless database. So all of the information, all of the data that you save is just kind of keyed off of these. It's just keyed off of the unique IDs for the different entries. And you totally have a lot of flexibility in how you organize it and where it goes. And it's very dynamic. So there's not like changing and linking tables or any confusing stuff like that. It's just simply there. And you can find the data that you want by just doing some simple queries that Firebase has set up that are native to its scripts. So that's the first part I really like about it, the flexibility. The second part that's really awesome about Firebase is it's got like this really cool set of permissions and security. So if you want to be able to log and authenticate users using their Facebook account or their Google account or Twitter or anything like that, Firebase provides all of the back end for that, and they manage all that for you. And they've integrated a lot of that with Google.
So there's a back end that you can actually manually enter in entries into the Firebase?
So you can, yeah. You can actually go directly into your database and you can do entries manually, or you can insert it obviously through whatever software you're developing. But it's a really cool, it's awesome. It's also very fast. Like when it looks for the data, it's very quick. And it does something else that I'm not sure exactly how unique this is, but it's called three-way data binding. So whenever you're basically editing a field on your front end, that field is hooked to the data in Firebase in live time. And so it updates without you having to actually make an AJAX call or do anything like that. It's just simply updating the field. It's just like you're typing into Firebase itself. And that's really useful because if you have an application that's cross-platform, all of your data, whether it's on your mobile app, whether it's on your desktop app, no matter what it is in sync.
I will say I just want to thank you all your hard work on trying to improve the technologies for the education system, because it's really so bad. I mean, I've seen it, and you're clearly very passionate about it. I see you're also working on a personal project of yours called MixLink.
Yeah, so as I shared, I don't know if I shared this earlier, but my wife is also a teacher. And one of the things that she was working on last year was something called a hyperdoc, where she was taking basically different, hyperlinks from around the internet, putting them into a Google Doc, having the students copy this Google Doc into their Google Drive, having them complete the assignment, save it back, and then send it to her. And as a technologist, I was naturally thinking, well, I could probably solve this if I designed an app for it. And again, it was one of those conversations where I was like, hey, do you think it would be really cool if we built this thing? And she's like, well, no, because it's going to take a ton of your time. And yep. So I ignored her at that point and built a quick prototype. And then I showed her and she said, oh, that is awesome. You know, that's really cool. You got to keep working on this. So I got some permission to continue to work on MixLink. And yeah, the idea was just to basically take that same concept. So creating a lesson that students could do, like probably on their Chromebooks, or if they're in the, for homework, they could do it. And something that's really easy for them to follow, but also really easy for the teacher to create, where they can just pull content like YouTube videos and turn those into a lesson and add some questions that go with it and have the students respond right there.
I love how your relationship with your wife is not unlike like a new like producer trying to pitch a pilot to a TV show. You're like, I really want to do this. I'm like, we don't like it. And then you're like, well, fine. I'm just going to go off. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm just going to do a little something and bring it back to you. And then they're like, you know what? We like this. This is greenlit. Like, I mean, it's so good to me.
Are you promoting Mixlink to other companies to try to get it out to the system? Are you kind of promoting it within the educational industry at all?
You know, I've shared it with some of my teacher friends. As far as you know, really kind of scaling it, I don't think I'm there yet in terms of when I think about what Mixlink is. I want to keep it simple, and I want to keep kind of my ambitions in check there. And also, you know, there's a balance to how much time I can spend on something like that. Just because.
So no Shark Tank?
No, definitely not Shark Tank. when I think about something like that, I mean, if you can picture this scene, here's me on like a Tuesday night. I'm, you know, laying on the living room floor, my laptop in front of me. I have a 3- and 4-year-old, and they are like maybe even possibly crawling on my back asking me what is it, you know, what am I doing? And I'm trying to explain to them like in a very simple way, you know, building a website. And so I've got that going on, but I've also, you know, I got this work that I love doing at Goldbook. And so between those things, it's a really cool way to explore and learn new things. But also a way that I think like, you know, I can see people using it and enjoying using it. And so I just like building something that people are going to love, or that I think people are going to love, and kind of seeing how that kind of takes shape in a natural way.
There's no way you're going to find the time to, do everything that you want to do in life, especially when you have two little ones like that running around.
Oh yeah,
it's hard to find the time.
Yeah, and you know, yeah. I think like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I actually created a lesson on Mixlink, and I wanted to kind of call you out. I realize you're focusing on Chrome and Chromebook, it sounds like, but there's a bunch of input fields and the like that are broken in Safari, so I had to switch over to Chrome, and because it didn't work.
Darn it. Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah. But I love the design.
Welcome to the hard part. Welcome to the hard part of this call.
Hey, I think it's still got beta in the logo, technically.
Okay.
Did I take it out?
I don't know. I don't remember darn it. If there was a beta.
Darn it.
Steve,
okay.
I just tried this on IE6, and I have
that sounded like a hope, not a question. Yeah. That sounded like an ad. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to push an update real quick, and then we'll see. No, I'm just kidding.
On Mozilla One, I'm having an issue.
Exactly. It's could you refresh your cache, please, and your cookies, and then try and re-log into the site and see if you still have the same problem.
Okay, well, added to my to-do list.
You're welcome.
Let's see. Sunday list.
Sorry, honey. We can't go on the picnic. I've got to get this done.
Trim the bushes in the backyard. Yeah, I got to make Safari work. Fix Safari. Yep. No, that's what I love about it. Is like there are constantly those kind of things that pop up, and it's like, you know, like sometimes it's a real easy quick fix, and I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I missed that. And sometimes it's something that ends up taking, you know, 3 or 4 hours to investigate and find out, you know, kind of what's going on. And then at the end of that, I sometimes even have to like take a break and go to sleep. And then the next morning, it literally takes me like 5 minutes to figure it out. So
we all have that. I mean, I don't know how many times I've had like a dream where I thought about, oh, you know what I need to do? And then I wake up and I could iron something out. I just needed the time to sleep on it and kind of formulate my thoughts a little bit. Hey, you know, I looked at another one of those projects that you had on, what is that Dev Depot site?
DevPost, yeah.
Yeah, you had Main Street for Small Business. What's that about?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, one of the ways that I wanted to learn Angular and also learn a little bit about the backend interface with Node was doing this Yelp hackathon. And so I've also, you know, if half of my background experience has been having a mom that's an educator, the other half is my dad has worked at a small business at a dry cleaners in our town all my life. And so I know that a lot of small business owners have this massive benefit that they could have from tapping into technologies like Yelp and social media, but really they're experts on their small businesses, not on things like, you know, social marketing. And so that was kind of the concept for this platform that I was going to design, or that I designed for our hackathon. And so I really kind of sunk my teeth into what would it look like to kind of make an application that a small business owner could find out, you know, whether or not they're basically claim their business on Yelp, and if they're actively managing it, find out when new comments were added or when new customers are reacting with them. But then also in the same place, learn and find out if things like mentions are happening, particularly negative ones, across other social media channels. And through using the platform, learn a little bit more about how to effectively use these new kind of technologies to grow and support their business and their kind of media, social media, PR side.
Oh, that's really interesting. There's a giant need for that. Just like you said, they're experts at their own small business, but they might not know how to use Yelp or whatever, or any kind of social media. There's people in their 70s through their 30s that still don't know how to do web good, if you will, that don't have that concept of basic marketing.
Yeah, especially like when it comes to platforms like Facebook. I mean, you just read about how they're killing it lately in the stock market, but their tools for advertising are just phenomenal. But there is a trick, you know. I mean, there is a little bit of knowledge. You can't just throw an ad up and hope that, you know, if you target your area, it's gonna be fine. I have noticed though, when I was kind of looking recently on Facebook's ads, that they have kind of developed some assisted targeting for small business owners. So it looks like they're kind of recognizing that need as well. But yeah, there's a trick to doing it for sure.
And explaining things too. What's Facebook Live? What is that about? Why should I use it? Why should I even care?
Yeah. I mean, especially like when you think about those new emerging kind of things like Facebook Live or the 360 photos, or, you know, there's so many innovative ways that those could be used to promote a business. And yeah, especially if you're super focused on, you know, running your storefront, paying your employees, getting customers in the door and keeping them happy, that probably social media and learning about these new things and staying on top of them isn't, you know, that's another challenge.
Yeah, and you might not have the ability right away or ever to have somebody to bring in as far as a marketing person or a social media person. You do, as that small business owner, have that need to learn these things.
Yeah, and so another part kind of like along that same lines is one of the visions that I also was, I guess, maybe overly ambitious about for for Main Street was I was envisioning also, as part of this platform, a community where small business owners could network with other small business owners in the same industry across the country. So if you owned, for example, a running store, when you signed up and then claimed your business, you'd also be networked with other running store owners from across the country. And also be able to see the local businesses in your specific area. So this would be sources of knowledge, both industry specific and location specific, that could help you kind of figure out also a little about what works and, you know, kind of learn together.
I like the Highlander situation of this, where you basically use it to track down everybody and kill them until you were the only one left, and then the quickening happens.
I mean,
I want that to be what this is.
Well, as a teacher,
can that electric storm happen and you keep their sword? How does that work? And when you're one business and another business, can you battle on holy land?
Well, wait. Would it be swords, or would it be they get to collect like the one like running shoe, the sacred running shoe? I want there to be like sacred running.
Sure, that could happen. As long as that electric storm happens, and you know, there's that money shot at the end of every episode where he puts his arms out and he's like, ah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, I mean, if you live anywhere close to Tampa, or if you've ever lived in Texas and stuff like that, you know that those where they got the inspiration for those storms.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Like,
oh, it's crazy. Oh, Texas is insane. Like, it's the way that weather rolls in and out fast, and, like, their lightning is just horrible. And, of course, Tampa, obviously, lightning capital of the U.S., or at least it was for a pretty damn long time.
I think I've heard one thunderclap being out here in California, and that is it since we've been out here.
Well, it's hard to fight its way through the intense smog.
Yep.
How long have you been out there in the desert there, Steve?
two years. Yeah, so basically since the drought.
Wastelands. How long have you been a war boy?
Yeah. No, you know, I mean,
you enjoy it over there?
Oh yeah. I mean, it is beautiful out here. There's so much to do. I mean, you know, we can go up to the mountains and ski in the winter time, but then come back and it's, you know, 65 degrees in the Bay Area. And so, I mean, there's a lot of outdoorsy type, you know, stuff for us to do. So yeah, we're constantly taking advantage of being out where the weather's a lot nicer than it was back in Chicago, particularly in months like February.
No blizzards, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, have you experienced any earthquakes? Cold freezes. Sorry?
Have you experienced any earthquakes yet?
You know what? I've been told that there have been a couple at night, but I sleep right through them, so I really have no idea. I've probably been involved, just have never really noticed.
We're really painting a picture of the terror and horror of earthquakes for everybody. Everybody's like, fuck it, yeah, man, I slept right through them. Come out to California, no problem. It's like, it's basically like you put 50 cents in one of those motel beds. It just shakes you.
Well, one of my parts of my commute is I do go over a bridge, and so there is a part of me that wonders that if the time that I really experience an earthquake, it will be when I'm on that bridge. And so I'm a little freaked out about that. And kind of
what the hell is that? What the hell is that show that used to show the intro for? It was one of the intros for it was a sitcom, and maybe one of the Family
Seinfeld
or something like that, where they where the bridge, yeah, that it was actual footage of the earthquake and that bridge actually like bending and twisting.
Oh gosh, yeah, what
like
a nightmare
through the earthquake. Do you guys
really?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, oh, yeah, it's insane. It was, like, all through my childhood, I was like, what the hell is that bridge doing? And I was like, yeah, that was video taken from an earthquake and so that, and that was what the bridge was actually doing.
Up.
And I was like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, well, I actually have fears of bridges myself, so I can't imagine going over a bridge and then thinking, as I'm going over it, my normal fear, this could suddenly have an earthquake and shake. And
Wait. Is your normal fear though answering the troll's question?
No, is that the bridge thing?
No, my actual what?
Or is it just going over there?
Well, the troll's question. I was like, what?
I think by anticipating it. Yeah. So by anticipating this earthquake, I'm prepared to do some sort of like Mario jump from car to car as everything's falling down from the bridge. I'm just gonna leap from one thing to the next until I'm back up on top, and then be like, I'm glad I thought that was gonna happen.
You jump on the and then when you get safely across, you look back at everybody and jump on that axe head, and then it just completely destroys the entire bridge. And then you just like thumb up, like thumb like the good old 80s thumbs.
And then you talk to Toad.
Fist pump. Yeah.
Motherfuck! Exactly. Another castle. God damn.
Hey, there's I got work to do, man. I got work to do. I'll be glad I made it across, and I'm on my way.
Listen, if you guys have ever, speaking of Mario, if you ever want to check something out, and I brought this up with the whole Daniel Russo being the villain from Karate Kid. Also, I would like to pose to you that Princess Peach is the villain of Mario Brothers, and that she converted all of the... And the game theory has a wonderful thing on YouTube if you guys want to check it out and say that, where it talks about how the people used to actually be people, and then she actually turned them into mind controlled spore headed toads.
Wow.
So,
oh my fuck, I gotta look like that up.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's actually it's in the reading and stuff like that. He goes through like everything, and like your mind will be blown. She's actually the antagonist of the whole thing.
Who knew?
She keeps getting caught, so
yeah, that's true.
Or does she?
Speaking of princesses, I see that you volunteer a lot. I see that you volunteer a lot in your area. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Like, I was just thinking about, you have so little time, but you're still making time to help out your community.
Sure. So most of the time that I get to volunteer now, given the fact that I have my small children, involves kind of their world. And so, you know, one of the nice things about kind of working at a startup is there's a lot of flexibility in the scheduling. And so it really gives me a lot of time to sometimes like step away from the workday and, you know, work with the kids at their school, spend some time with them there, and also, you know, take them on their field trips or chaperone those kind of things, or, you know, even just kind of help out with the other things that, that are going on. So I've spent a couple of days in their classroom over the last couple of years, just kind of helping out there. And I also, you know, I keep that like, close connection to education. I actually, work out or tutor out here, two high school English students, and we work on writing and literary analysis and stuff like that for their high school courses. So in many ways, I still like get that. I was definitely missing that, that connection to the classroom, and kind of transitioning to a more business related role that was removed. And I still get my kind of teaching fix, that way.
I dig it. So what, I mean, obviously that's kind of like the volunteer, and that gives you that touch back to the classroom and whatnot. But like, you know, the question I ask every guest is what's the, you know, where do you plug in to recharge? You know what I mean? Where do you house your batteries? You know, what's the thing that either gets you motivated to go in the morning, which apparently you wake up super early every morning, or, you know, so that it's gotta be hard to get away when you've got that much family. You know, it's got to be hard to get away, especially when you have to green light everything you do through somebody who doesn't want you to waste your time. So what's that moment? Where's your zen every morning?
You know, so I love going to Phil's Coffee. I just find it to be like a really calming space. So we're based in San Mateo, which is on the peninsula. And sometimes when I get in nice and early, downtown San Mateo is a pretty hopping place in the middle of the day, but in the morning it's pretty empty. And so it's kind of like very calming to do the walk from where I park my car through this empty town all the way to this little coffee shop. And you guys probably don't know much about Phil's out in, on the East Coast, but basically their motto is one cup at a time. And they literally brew every single cup of coffee individually. So they grind the beans for it. They put it in the filter. They do a pour over and they let it steep. And then they serve you your cup, and they serve every cup of coffee that way. And so I guess it's kind of this like, you know, West Coast San Francisco-ish hipster vibe to it. But a really cool spot where you can just kind of hang out. You know, it's a very social kind of atmosphere. And you look around and like you can see on people's mugs, I mean, just because of the area we're in. And they've got stickers from, you know, different kind of startups. Like there's a guy sitting next to me one time who's got his sticker for Tile. They're like a, you know, it's a piece of hardware that helps you locate your phone if you, or your keys if you lose them. And I noticed
I know about Tile.
Yeah, so I noticed he's got a Tile sticker on his mug, and I've got a Tile sitting on my key, like literally right next to it. And so we strike up this conversation like, hey, you know, and he ends up working for Tile. And so there's a lot of kind of tech-minded people who I think are doing the same thing, just kind of plugging into some headphones and going into their kind of calming space and, you know, getting some of that done. Cause I think in some ways, like this problem solving that comes with coding and developing and building is very kind of therapeutic for me. So I love just kind of taking the time to separate from the rest of the world. I think that's probably one of the reasons that I love doing it so much. Despite the fact that I love spending time with my children and I love going on vacation and I love doing stuff, you know, with my wife and at work, but one of the things that's just like the me time is what's something that I'm thinking about? What's a project that I really care about and am passionate about personally? And how can I kind of learn a new skill along the way?
Yeah, I want their logo desperately to be Phil's. We don't give a shit when you get to work.
They do not.
So what time in the morning are you actually getting to Phil's at then?
Usually I'll be there kind of around 6 o'clock.
Wow, okay. So this is your like your morning kind of way to have some kind of meditation and think about the day, and that's your you time.
Well, I don't get to do it every morning, so that's what makes it really rewarding.
gotcha. I was thinking this was your every day before work.
No, on a daily routine, I guess, because I do go in pretty early, I am the first one of us to get into the office, and so it is kind of fun to walk into a place where, you know, the lights are all off, you know, there's not a sound there, and just kind of be the one who walks in when the lights turn on in the morning and kind of like it starts the day, and go make my cup of coffee. And there's a very comfortable chaise lounge in a corner of our office that I'm regularly teased about hogging. But I love kind of this like little relaxing living room area that we have.
And now, how long does the Phil's coffee take to actually brew? They make an individual cup, and I'm someone who, like, instant gratification. I want my coffee now.
Allow me to tell you exactly how long a pour takes, my friend. Takes a good, depending upon how well you do, between pulling out the filter, pre-wetting it, important part of the process, pulling your, you know, well-balanced, you know, grinds out and putting it in there from about prep time to pour time till it gets into your hand, depending upon whether or not you want room or not, anywhere from about 2.5 to about 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably more like the 5 minute side for us at Phil's, but it's worth it.
Oh yeah, we've established their slogan already. We know it's Phil's coffee. We don't give a shit when you get to work.
I don't know if many people in the Bay Area do. I don't know. It's kind of a, you know, real relaxed attitude about that.
Probably not.
So are you finding any extra time then to level up your skills and other things? And what things might you be looking at besides kind of your day-to-day things that you're using, like Angular? Like what new technologies are you looking to reach out to?
Well, the upgrade to Firebase, as I was sharing earlier, took a ton of my recent time. I'm still actually kind of working through some of that. Before I push out a big update here before school gets back for Mixlink. So I'm working on that currently. I've wanted to learn a little bit about React, but I don't have a good use case for it yet since I am so invested in Angular at the moment. It doesn't really seem smart for me to like really switch horses in midstream as far as that's concerned for now. But I think that my next project, whatever that would end up being at some point, I would want to explore that just because I know that's another popular one that people have loved. I'm really interested in actually the Google Classroom API because one of the updates that comes with the new version of Firebase is kind of a new way that it interfaces with Google because, you know, Firebase has been acquired by Google. And so when they give you that authentication token for Google users, one of the permissions that you can request is access to the Google Classroom API. So I think it'd be really cool to be able to figure out how I can get teachers to kind of sync their Google Classroom accounts with something like Mixlink. So that's like on a wish list event, maybe someday into the future. I just submitted a proposal to South by Southwest EDU. I think voting doesn't open until the 8th, and I'll see if my proposal is accepted. But what I kind of wanted to run was like a maker space for teacher edupreneur types who love to build and talk a little bit about the process of, you know, what do we have in mind when we design for teachers? What are some of the things we think about when we think about teachers as users? And how do we think about solving some of the problems that they're facing?
I could see that being really valuable to a lot of different kinds of people.
Yeah, thanks. I'm anxious to see. I've never submitted a proposal to that before, but I have led a lot of workshops. One of the things that I do at Goldbook is I go out and do training sometimes at districts all over the country, just about our software and how it speaks to, you know, classroom practice. And so I'd love to take some of that kind of skill of speaking and presenting and bring that to an audience like South by Southwest, because I think that'd be a great community of builders there too.
I love it's a good short drive for you too. I mean, realistically, it's like, you know, Texas isn't.
Oh no, that'd be a plane. That would be a plane ride.
Oh, that'd be a plane. See, you have to realize that not all traffic is like the horrificness that you find in California. It's like once you actually get past it, I mean, it's like it's actually a pretty nice drive to go through this country and check out the sights and sounds. But Steve, we want to thank you so much, man, for coming on and getting up early. You know, I had to change my schedule around because I transferred to a different store and so that. So for you to accommodate us was quite stand up.
No problem. No problem.
Awesome. Well, that being said, we're going to go ahead and end the show on that. We want to thank you for coming on, and you know, hope you a fantastic day.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. You too.
If you have a question or topic you'd like us to discuss, send us your text or audio questions at connect@thundernerdsho.com.
Also, hit us up if you're interested in sponsoring the show, and don't forget to pimp us on iTunes with a like or review.